Brothers and sisters, it's the Sunday of the veneration of the cross, halfway through this great Lent. It's hard to believe. This Sunday is the midpoint of Lent. And of course, the Lord gives us his cross as the emblem, as the banner of the salvation that he is working within us and in the world, which he has already accomplished and which is continuing to be accomplished in our life and in the lives of all. It's an unusual time, a very strange time, a time in which people all over the world are afraid, are confused, perhaps feeling lost, perhaps feeling lonely, isolated, wondering what's going to happen, what's going to come of all this. When the world is just humming along as usual and everything seems fine to us, the amazing thing is that we still constantly find ways to lose our peace. We find things to complain about. We become embittered. We fight amongst ourselves. Now, how many of us would gladly go back to things just humming along as usual, you know? Arguments between people from different political parties and persuasions and whatnot. Kind of the everyday humdrum problems of life. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. There really are terrible sufferings that people go through in this world. There are tragedies. There is pain. There are sorrows. There are real problems. There's evil in this world. But the solution to every problem, the balm for every wound, the healing of every sickness, the cleansing of every sin, that which will transform us is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other solution, really, to any problem at all. But most of the time, when life is humming along for us, we're under this delusion that perhaps we can find another solution other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If all people were to fall down before the cross of our Savior and kiss it and embrace it with their whole heart, this world would be a paradise. Would be a paradise. If all of us Orthodox Christians first, would embrace the cross with our whole heart, we would be transformed and the world would be transformed. But do we do that? Do we embrace the cross with our whole heart? This strange situation, this coronavirus, this plague, pandemic that's covering the globe now, and all of the panic and everything that comes along with that because people are afraid and uncertain because of the unknown involved in this. This situation is one which God is allowing, which we could even say he has brought upon us in order to draw us to his cross, to draw us nearer to him, to reveal his love for us and for the world. How can that be, we ask? This doesn't make sense. How can something which causes suffering bring good? But isn't that what the cross is? It's the suffering that brings about the salvation of the world. We have to be clear what kind of God we have. We don't have a God who's distant from us. We have a God who's constantly near to us. We don't have a God who looks upon us from afar. We have one who comes into our midst. We don't have a God who's high and mighty, as if he's full of pride, haughty somehow, arrogant. No, we have a humble God, a God who becomes human and suffers a shameful death in order to raise us up from our shame and our suffering. This is the God that we have. We have a Lord, a Savior, who comes into the world for this express purpose, that he might suffer for us, to demonstrate his love, and to feed us with that love, that we might become love, that we might offer love to others. Do we embrace this God? Do we embrace this Savior? Do we embrace his cross? If we were to do so, it would be utterly transformative. There are many ways that we're called to embrace the cross. Certainly in the midst of this situation, for us to show greater love for one another, to serve one another more, not to be fearful, but to act as Christians in the midst of this situation. We may face and have to bear crosses that are beyond our control. In fact, if there's anything that characterizes this situation, which God has allowed to happen, it's that it's beyond our control, that we don't know what's going to happen next. Perhaps it won't be as terrible as we fear. Perhaps things will pass more quickly and life will get back to normal. But perhaps not. Perhaps there will be terrible financial crises, hardship that people have to endure. And whatever it is that God allows, let's be clear about the fact that he is allowing it, and that it's a cross, and that the cross is for our salvation. And it's good, because it's teaching us about God's love, and it's giving us the opportunity to truly love him. So there are many kinds of crosses that we might have to bear. If we get sick with the coronavirus, just like any other sickness that we might have, whatever God allows, whether it's cancer, whether it's, you know, some virus or some bacteria or whatever it might be, we have to remember that our Lord never promised us never to get sick. He never promised us an easy life. He never promised us that this world would be, you know, paradise. We know that we'll have tribulation in this world. And the only way that this world can, in fact, become paradise is when we do embrace the cross and we have Christ dwelling emphatically, vibrantly in our hearts. And then the world becomes paradise because we have paradise within us. When we have Christ within us. And we see everything differently. We see the people around us as saints. We see the glory of God everywhere when Christ dwells fully within us, when we allow the Holy Spirit to indwell us the way he desires to. That's the way this world can be paradise, but not in the sense that everything's going to be easy. Like if you're a Christian, if you follow me, if you do my commandments, then I'll take care of everything. You never have to suffer anything. It's not what the Lord says. The great saints of the church, most of them are martyrs, where they suffered very difficult things, sicknesses, trials, persecutions, all kinds of crosses they had to bear. So we all bear crosses. But brothers and sisters, here's a cross that we might not always consider, but which is perhaps the most important cross for us to embrace at this time. That is to give our attention to Christ, to remove it from all those other things that are demanding it, and to give it to Christ. Can we do that? Do we do that? You know, in St. John's Gospel, there's that passage where you have, in St. Luke's Gospel, I'm thinking of. In St. Luke's Gospel, there's that passage where you have the Lord, and he's in the household of Mary and Martha. We hear this gospel reading on the feasts of the Theotokos. Mary and Martha. And Martha is careful, it says, full of cares and troubled about many things. She's rushing around. Now, is she doing anything inappropriate in and of itself? No. Is she doing anything sinful? No. She's making dinner. For whom? For the Lord. And for the other guests. You see? It's quite reasonable what she's doing. And nobody's criticizing her as if she were doing something inappropriate in and of itself. But how is she doing it? She's in a frenzied state. She feels the weight of the world. She feels all of the pressure. She's anxious. And she's frustrated because of her anxiety with her sister Mary. We have all of these things to do, and Mary, you're just sitting there. Lord, tell Mary to help me. I've got a lot of work to do. How does the Lord respond? Martha, Martha, you are careful. You are full of cares. You are worried about many things. You're anxious. Why? Who do you have with you right now? Your Creator? The one that you exist for? The one who has your life in His hand? So what could there possibly be to be anxious about? You see? And so he says, Mary has chosen that good portion which shall not be taken away from her. It shall not be taken away from her, ever. COVID-19 can't take it away from her, you see? All of these other things that we feel like we have to rush around and do, coronavirus might take it away from us. Even if it just means because we have to sit at home. Or if we get sick, and even if we die, what do we have to do? Let go of all of those other things that we're careful and troubled about. But that one thing that Mary has chosen, that one needful thing, can coronavirus take it away from us? No. No. Nothing will take that away from us if that's what we choose. Do we choose the one thing needful? Or do we often act like Martha? Even though we believe in Christ, we know He's the Lord, we confess all of these things. And what do we do? What do I do? I get anxious about many things. Many things. We come to the Divine Liturgy, and we bring all of our anxiety with us. And then we sing, "Let us lay aside all earthly care." But do we do that? Really? Do we lay aside every earthly care? Or at least in the back of our minds, are we still worried about things? And maybe not just the back of our minds. Maybe that's the thing that's occupying our attention as we're singing it. You know, hypocritically. As we're partaking of the Lord's body and blood and we're thinking about other things. Is that not the case? I don't know that I've ever, in a single liturgy in my life, as a layman or as a priest, perfectly laid aside all earthly cares, even once. Because it's hard to do. Why? Because I'm hanging on to those cares so tightly. My arms are locked around them and I don't want to let them go. Why? Because somehow I feel like I have to take care of these things. It's all riding on me. I'm responsible. I have to make it work. But why? Am I God? Or is God God? Who's in control? Who's sovereign? Who's Lord? I have to recognize I'm not God. I don't have to make it all work. God is God. He's in control. We have to embrace the cross of letting everything else go and giving ourselves wholeheartedly to the one thing needful, to being in the Lord's presence, sitting at His feet, honoring Him, remembering Him, not forgetting Him. Usually when I preach about that passage, Mary and Martha, I make this caveat. I say, this doesn't mean that we don't have responsibilities and that we can't be responsible people. That's not what God's saying, I always say. I always tell everybody. He's saying that in the midst of our responsibilities, we have to give our hearts to Him. But perhaps that's justifying too much. Perhaps we have to be bolder in our thinking about this and in our enacting it in our life. Perhaps we have to learn, in a sense, in a Christian sense, sometimes to be irresponsible, to put aside even our responsibilities. What I mean is this. We say we can't put those things aside. They're all resting on us. We have this responsibility. We have to take care of this and that and the other. And so we don't have time to stop and to pray and to remember the Lord. Is that really justified? What about when we abdicate responsibility because of selfish reasons? Don't we do that? You see, we're supposed to be getting work done, and instead we're scrolling through the Facebook feed. We're supposed to be helping others who depend on us, and instead we're doing something we want to do, watching something, reading something. Our children need our attention. We say, wait, I'm doing this right now. I'm doing that. We abdicate our responsibilities for selfish reasons. We put things off, responsibilities that we have, in order to please ourselves. Can't we put those things off at least once in a while? Just to be with the Lord. And here's the thing. If we would do that, if we would sometimes be a little bit irresponsible in that sense and put everything aside and say, actually, the world's not going to end if for a few minutes I don't do these things. But if I don't give my heart to Christ now, perhaps there won't be another opportunity because my life might end. Or the world might end if God says it's time for it to end. If there's one thing that this crisis, just this past week, I'm not saying anything about what we have left to see, but just this past week, if there's one thing that has been driven home to me, it's that I don't know what's going to happen. I have no control over the future. Only God knows. It's in His hands, and I need to live in this moment. And not worry about tomorrow And the Lord says this in the gospel, doesn't he? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Like, don't worry about tomorrow. Live in today. Be with me now. Be present. But again, we're so used to trying to control everything in our life, feeling like we have to make everything happen, and carrying that anxiety that we have such trouble just letting it go. You can trust the Lord. And he's telling each of us right now, remember me, trust me, be with me, let the anxiety go. I'm the one who made you. I have you in the palm of my hand. In a matter of, you know, minutes relative to eternity, our life's going to be over. Like a flash, it'll be gone, this world, our life in this world. And we'll enter into eternity. Let's live in eternity now. Every time we draw near to the cross of Christ, every time we draw near to the Lord in prayer, we can enter into the time of heaven. We can enter into eternity. When we're in this moment, we're not worried about what we forgot to do yesterday, or what somebody said to us yesterday, or kicking ourselves for what we didn't do and should have done yesterday. And we're not anxious about what might happen tomorrow and what might not happen and all of these things. And we simply say, yes, Lord, you're with me. And I want to be with you. And I don't want to forget about you. And I don't want to let my attention wander away from you. And we enter into that moment with the Lord, and into that quiet with the Lord. Then we enter into eternity, and we breathe the fragrance of heaven. We breathe the fresh air of the kingdom, and we receive life, and we receive the communion of our God's presence. And all of this is possible for us, and it will not be taken away from us. And the only thing that prevents us is for us to be like Martha and to let those cares and those anxieties overwhelm us and make us forget about who is present with us right now. Wherever we are, whatever's happening, whatever we're suffering, whatever other people are suffering, God cares about every person. All of our hairs are numbered. Our life is in his hands. This is the cross that we must embrace. It's what we can call a Golgotha of the mind, because our brain is always calculating, trying to figure things out. But our mind, in some sense, has to die to all of that. That's why it's a Golgotha, the Golgotha of the rational mind, which is really the Golgotha of the passionate man. Because again, it's not, God gave us our rational minds. It's not, that's not the problem in and of itself. It's our habitual use of the rational mind to try to solve all of these problems, rather than simply resting in God. This moment is calling us to a Sabbath rest. May we discover this life-changing truth that it's possible for us, and nothing, there's nothing to prevent us if we have the will to do it, the desire with our whole heart to do it, to enter fully into that Sabbath rest, that true Sabbath rest in the Lord, where we rest in him and in his love and in his presence, just like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, just like the Theotokos from the time that she was 3 years old in the temple, and she lived that Sabbath rest from then and throughout the rest of her life. May our God enable us to lay aside all earthly cares and truly to give our whole selves to Him, embracing His cross with love, and knowing that all things are within His care and His providence, and glorifying Him with our whole heart, honoring Him and worshiping Him, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.